I love you.
The Swancast podcast is recorded, mixed, and produced on the poop deck of Gravy Jones Locker in the heart of Columbia, South Carolina. On the show, we talk about the gaming hobby and random fandom. Opinions on this show are recorded live at Scarab Gaming Convention 2018. I'm Toast, your cobalt announcer. And now, prepare to delve into the mind of your host, John Minas!
Hey guys, this is John, and yes, you heard correctly. Everything that's going to be on the show, except for a few things such as this, were things that were recorded live at Scarab Gaming Convention here in Columbia, South Carolina in 2018. So we're going to have some reviews, a lot of reviews about a lot of stuff. The first of our RPG Pharaohs challenges. So you get to hear the intro to that, and then you'll get to hear the part that comes right at the end of that where we announce the winner of the challenge. So sit back and enjoy.
Will our heroes escape the room? Find out on Swarmcast Escape Room Reviews.
So now we've got a review of one of the escape rooms being run here at Scarab this year. The Eco Escape, I think is what it's called. So who's doing this review? Who are you guys?
We got a Mr. Smith.
Mr. Smith. Nice to see you again, Mr. Smith.
My name's Adam.
Adam.
And I'm Michael.
And Michael. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you guys played in the escape room. First off, I'm going to ask you, did you guys have fun?
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Great fun. It was lots of fun.
Awesome. So what's something good that you want to say about the escape room?
Well, this is actually the first live action escape room that I've done. I played the board game versions of it before, and you know, it has clues, but it's really limited on the board game where, you know, these are the box set of clues you have. With the room, you have a lot more that you can explore and, you know, puzzle over. It gives you a more fully immersive environment. So that was a really good aspect of the live action escape room.
Okay.
More options, it seems like.
Yes.
More options. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Different types of puzzles.
I thought it was great laid out. It was challenging, had us running around, so we were definitely challenged. And so that was
very
good.
Cool. So is there anything you want to say, maybe negative or bad?
Well, you know, I don't want to say too negative because this was the first live action that I've done. I think, did any of us do that?
I've done one.
Okay. Adam did this once before, but we didn't actually solve the puzzle in the time allotted. We came close, but I guess that's the one negative aspect, is we didn't win.
Okay. And Mr. Smith always loves winning, so.
There wasn't anything about the room itself, the game, that was bad, that I could think of as negative.
Okay. Well, we have this category that's called other. Is there anything that you think of that goes in this other category as far as this?
Oh my, that's a good question. It's so different from a traditional board game or RPG. It's more of a unique breed of game.
Okay.
I don't know. It used lots of different stuff.
Very tactile.
Like, yeah.
Okay.
Like, it wasn't all the same. I don't know how to say it.
I gotcha. It's just very diverse, I guess.
Right. Yeah. Okay. It's like not like when you're playing cards, you just have cards. You have all different stuff.
Right. Yeah. You have a bunch of different things you can manipulate.
Right.
Cool. Anything else? Anybody wants to add? Okay, cool. All right. Well, thank you guys for reviewing the Eco Escape Room here at Scarab 2018. Hey guys, it's John. I'm still here at Scarab. Imagine that. And I've got three people sitting at the table who want to talk about their experience in the escape room here. So I've got Sarah, Kirsten, and Miriam. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic.
Great. You having fun at Scarab so far?
Of course.
Yeah. Yes.
So you guys were just in the escape room. My note here just says Christmas GR. I'm not even sure what that means.
Christmas escape room.
ER. So you were in the Christmas emergency room, according to this. So, did you guys have fun in that?
Yes, it was absolutely.
From what I understand, that was a brand new one that they'd been working on. So, why don't you guys tell me something good about your experience at in the escape room?
It was fun. You got to solve little puzzles and make your brain work.
Okay.
Yeah,
it was fun to work together. We had people like all different ages. There were a couple middle school kids.
Oh, neat.
We're adults, and we all worked together.
Yeah, it really played to different talents. There were colors and numbers and words and just observations, and it played to different people's different talents.
Oh, that's really cool. Mm-hmm. That's good when you get one that's has a nice little balance like that, a nice mm-hmm. little range. Yeah. So is there anything bad that you think you can say about the Christmas escape room?
It's kind of quick and easy.
Kind of quick?
But that's a good and a bad. So.
Okay.
Yeah, it was
quicker
than I expected.
Yeah, it was really
It was fun.
We did get the record, though.
That's true.
Oh,
we got the record.
Okay.
So.
But it was fun. The puzzles were
I don't have anything negative to say, I think.
Okay. Well, that's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
So we have this other category for any other kind of weird, kind of random things that might have stuck out. Anything you want to throw in that category for the Christmas escape room?
I thought it was great that she created it. I mean, you can buy them from companies, and I know people create those through companies, but still, the lady running it is the one who created it.
Right. I think Stephanie is probably the one who mainly works on those for their library out in Waccamaw.
Apparently, she's done several, and so she's, pretty good at this. Mm-hmm. She is a librarian, and they are very talented people.
Librarians are superheroes.
That's what I hear. The place is just swarming with librarians.
Ha, ha, ha.
Well, anything else that you guys want to say about this?
If you haven't done an escape room, you got to go do one.
Yep,
absolutely.
Thank you, Sarah, Kirsten, and Miriam for sitting down and talking with me about the escape room here at Scarab.
Thanks for hosting it.
Bye.
Hey, what's up?
Excuse me, but let me tell you about my game.
Okay, so I'm over here talking with Chris.
Chris first.
Hey, Chris, how's it going?
Good.
So what game did you play?
I played a Starfinder Society scenario number 102, Fugitive on the Red Planet.
Cool.
And it's actually my very first Starfinder scenario I've ever played.
Oh, very cool. So what character did you play?
I made a something close to a pre-gen, but it's a Vesk soldier mercenary that I made.
Okay.
So kind of a heavy tank type.
Tell me something good about the scenario that you played.
Well, it was very fast paced. It moved along real well. There wasn't any real areas in it where you just kind of look at each other and go, well, now what do we do? It seemed pretty well thought out and laid out and moved along quite well.
Okay. Is there anything bad that you can think of that's about this scenario that you played?
I don't know if it's just my not having played Starfinder yet, but it was almost lethal. There was a time we thought that we might not come out of that scenario, but in the end we did. And it was quite shocking how much damage some of those enemies do in Starfinder. So.
Okay. So is there anything that you might throw in the other category for what you played?
In the other category?
Yeah. And just, something, anything unusual or unexpected, something that not necessarily good or bad, but just...
Well, I actually kind of liked it because even though it was, for this one anyway, that it was, obviously science fiction based, this one almost had a Wild West old time feel to it. So that was kind of cool.
Okay. It's almost like a Firefly kind of deal.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
Well, cool. Well, thank you very much, Chris, for sitting down here and talking about your Starfinder experience here at Scarab Gaming Convention. Are you going to be playing more Starfinder, you think?
Yes, I've got two more scenarios I'm going to play, and then the rest of the time I'm GMing Pathfinder.
Oh, very awesome. Hope to hear from you again, maybe.
All right, thanks.
So, yay, it's the morning of day 3 of Scarab. So, hey, I've got somebody who's been on the show a couple of times, usually at Scarab. How's it going this morning, Brent?
A little tired from the gaming last night. Ran a little bit late, and then a little extra time having to get back over across the street and all that.
So you've been pretty much what, I guess mostly what, running?
Yeah.
Pathfinder Society?
Yep.
This weekend? So how's your experience with that been this weekend? So far?
So far, it's going pretty well. I got to play a session the first day of the con, so kind of got that out of the way to start with. Just kind of easy day, and GM'd all day yesterday.
Oh, wow.
Which probably contributes to the tiredness. But got another day of GMing today, and then tomorrow I'll go back to playing.
Awesome. So I understand you ran the special last night, Saturday night.
Yeah, Solstice Scar is the name of that one.
Okay. And you're running the and you're going to be running the special that's going on tonight, Sunday night as well.
Assault on Absalom.
Have you run those before?
Nope.
Oh.
I played them.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well,
I like to make sure I can go in without knowing what's going to happen, play them first.
Okay.
Then I'll GM them, and I'll end up GMing them a couple times throughout the year.
Okay. That I totally get that. That makes sense to me. Was there any particular one you wanted to talk about, or you just want to talk about some
games? I do have a story about the one game I did play.
Okay.
That seemed like a good place to start.
Let's do that.
All right. So this was the Jarlsbud Witch Saga was the name of this scenario.
Okay.
So it's one of the newest ones.
Okay.
I played my Undyne Winter Witch, level 9, and it takes place in the Land of the Lindorn Kings.
Oh, very
cool.
So
if you're familiar with Pathfinder lore, they do not like witches, specifically winter witches.
Right.
And this entire scenario was about this feud in this town because one of the families, ancestor, mm-hmm. Was accused of being a winter witch and was burned at the stake and has been like haunting this place since. So I show up as a winter witch in this town that hates winter witches. So at first, I didn't know if I was really going to enjoy this scenario, having to, you know, kind of be on the down low about everything. Of course, I decided to just kind of throw that out the window and see how the GM would react if I walked into the bar and asked for Irisin ice wine. That was the very first thing I did. He was actually very lax. I've had other GMs kick me out of the bar. I've had other GMs like, you get beat up and you wake up a couple hours later. And he's all like, we just don't serve that here. He was kind of nice about it. So the GM was really good about dealing with my shenanigans the whole time. Hexing people randomly just to keep up the ruse of it being haunted. In the end, we set out to find the resting place of this so-called Winter Witch.
Mm-hmm.
And we came across a couple fae. So we kind of get ambushed in the middle of the woods by these fae. And one of them had like elk form with like bloody antlers that were like sharpened to tips and stuff. And like, so we were expecting combat, but it didn't happen. It was very unusual that just kind of walking through the woods, things jump you and they just talk and explain that basically they've been the ones doing all the mischief to make it seem like it was haunted because they believe that the land is theirs. And so that's just what they wanted to do.
And you guys are like, well, okay.
Yeah. I mean, they haven't hurt anyone. They just kind of...
Well, I mean, that one person got killed with...
Well, not because of the fae.
Okay.
They just kind of keep up the ruse of the haunting. They just... Things get misplaced. You maybe a thing will fall off of a shelf or something and break every now and then. You know? Nothing serious. So, continuing on into the story, we ended up finding this old catacomb that the Ulfin used several hundred years ago, and the town had kind of forgotten. And so the fae had kind of claimed that as their own storage place. Mm-hmm. And so that's where they decided to put this Winter Witch to rest, and the person that she killed was actually a king, one of the Lenore kings. So both of those were there. We were kind of going through these catacombs, of course, there's undead everywhere. We find a headless undead, so we assume that was probably the king. And in the end, we find a spirit of a woman locked in an eternal battle with a Lenorn, like a spiritual vision of them. And so she says that she's been doing this for hundreds of years to prevent it from returning to its body. Hundreds of years, she's completely exhausted of doing this in the afterlife. And so she wants help ending it for once and for all. We agree, and so the way to do that is to let it return to its body, and then we fight it. So we have to fight a Lenorn in the Land of the Lenorn Kings.
Oh my gosh.
Exactly. The battle starts off not so well. You know, there's breath weapons and you know, stuff like this that the Lenorn can kind of get all of us in its attacks and things.
Of course.
But once we kind of get split up and surrounded, you know, it wasn't so bad. And so my Winter Witch ends up getting the killing blow on it with a snowball, which I find hilarious. And then I get cursed, because if you kill Lenorm, you get hit with the death curse.
Right.
And it was probably the most thematic curse to ever get for a Winter Witch.
That's the one where now you actually take damage from, like, ice and stuff like that.
No, I take more damage from fire.
From fire?
A vulnerable to fire.
Oh, my gosh.
But I ended up
that's kind of funny.
Changing the entire town's perception of Winter Witches, and so they're, like, okay with them now, because they saved the town from a Lenorm. Twice.
That's pretty cool.
So I had a lot of fun. The GM, like I said, he was really good about rolling with the punches of antics and things that I got up to with being a Winter Witch and that thing. But
and so far your GMing has been okay at the con. I think you had a problem player last night, is what I heard.
More than one. that was a handful trying to wrangle that table. I'm not sure if Dell specifically seated them at my table because he thought I could handle it, or if it was just random. I don't know.
Sounds like a Dell thing to do, though.
It kind of does, yeah. So I had John Compton there, who was playing a character almost specifically for the scenario.
Uh-huh.
more to do with the lore of the scenario, not so much was just great at everything,
right.
But
oh, okay.
Connected to the lore of the scenario.
Okay.
So he was playing a grandfathered summoner, so an old summoner that is blind, completely blind. And so the entire scenario is just asking for people to direct her to enemies or if there's stairs or just, you know, trying to get around. And wields a dagger and will just, like, stab anything that they end up next to. So, I had to deal with that. And then there were 3 vigilantes at the table.
Oh, my gosh.
So one of them was more on the silly side. Mm-hmm. His vigilante persona was the Sugar Plum Fairy.
Okay. Okay.
So there was also an encounter with a fae court that they had to get permission to travel through their lands. That was quite interesting because he's claiming to be a fairy. And then he likes to tell jokes, and he told a joke about a gnome being in jail. So they didn't like him.
Yeah.
So in the end, they're just like, we'll let you go as long as you take your so-called fairy with you.
Well.
One of the other vigilantes, he switched between forms more often than the others. So he had some sort of butler-like persona.
Uh-huh.
Who just, like, always has, like, bottles of wine and cheese plates on hand anytime anybody asks. And so when he was in that persona, he was doing a pretty good job of leading around the blind woman. But his other persona was a reposition specialist. So it's all about repositioning things.
Okay, okay.
So if it's an ally, it was super easy for him to do it.
Right.
But enemies, it kind of depends. at one point, they had came across a bear that was in a trap, and they were able to convince it to be on their side, at least temporarily. And so he tried to reposition a bear, and that didn't work. And then they fought a dragon at the end, and he tried to reposition the dragon. That didn't work either. But he tried, and that's a good part of role-playing, is, you know, do what your character does, even if you know it's not going to work.
Wow.
The other one was more of, like, a monk-type persona. He called himself Fist of the Mountain, and he just hit things with his fist. That's all he did. and I don't think he actually changed personas the entire time.
Oh, okay.
So he was a little bit easier to deal with. The others, I had to be like, which persona are you in now? You know, had to keep up with, you know, what they were doing. In the beginning, they kind of had a hard time, even though the encounters weren't really that difficult. They came across some guard dogs, and they couldn't.
That's vigilante's worst nightmare.
Basically, they couldn't agree if they should, like, just take them out, or if they should ignore them, or if they should just try to subdue them. And so at first they just ignored him, and then later they came back. And so the Sugar Plum Fairy tried to color spray him, and only gets one of them successfully out of the combat. So then the monk kind of guy. He runs in and tries to grapple one of the dogs, and the dog ends up attacking him and tripping him before he can. And so they have the hardest time just taking out these little dogs because they're trying to do non-lethal damage and use spells that aren't actually going to kill them and stuff like that. And then, of course, the blind lady gets there eventually, and she doesn't understand, you know.
Starts stabbing dogs.
Yeah, just starts stabbing them. So one of them does end up dying, but they did successfully not kill the other two dogs. So.
Oh, my goodness.
They also had to fight some animated banners, just like flags.
Interesting.
Yeah, just...
Interesting.
And the blind one was totally confused. It's like, why are we fighting clothing? I don't get it. That took him a while, too, even though it's really not that hard to take them out. But towards the end, they got a little bit better. They kind of got their act together with like, the dragon. And there were some kobolds and stuff, too.
Right. Thank goodness we're fighting dragons now. Jeez.
Yeah, I was very surprised.
Dogs are kicking their butts.
The Sugar Plum Fairy successfully caused the dragon to laugh at his joke. And that's basically what sealed the deal. So the dragon was on the ground laughing.
Laughing.
While everybody else just beat it up. The other cool thing that happened, from my perspective anyway, was when they got the bear on their side, it was fighting a kobold.
Uh-huh.
And ended up getting it grappled in its mouth. That's one of the things bears do.
Right.
And so the kobold is actually a barbarian, and so doesn't really have escape artists or really good decks anyway. And so it's like, well, my best chance of getting out is if I take control of the grapple.
Uh-huh.
Which is almost impossible.
From inside the mouth.
Yes, from like a little kobold trying to take over, you know, a grapple at this much larger bear. But he did. So at the end of that combat, the kobold was grappling the bear. But then we ran out of time and had to progress to the next area.
So that weird sound in the background is the... It's all the Harry Potter LARPers, I guess, what, chanting the names of their houses? I don't know. They were quacking earlier, so who knows?
Yeah, that's when I came in. They were quacking.
Well, Brent, we've been chatting for about 15 minutes or so.
Hey, you said you needed more Pathfinder stuff, so.
Hey, and I appreciate that. I want to thank you for stopping by the booth and talking about Pathfinder stuff. It sounds.
Yeah, if I waited any longer, my voice might not be.
Yeah.
With me, so.
It sounds like you've had a. Really interesting experience so far, and that's only with the first 2 days of Scarab. So,
yeah,
you have a lot more insanity to look for.
I'm sure. So, some of the characters I've come across at the con is pretty silly.
Yeah, they really come out of the woodwork for the convention side. All right. Well, thank you, Brent.
Podcast at
gmail.com.
Swampcast Podcast brings you games from around the world.
So I'm here with a fairly familiar voice on the Swarmcast itself. I'm here with Tim. Hey, Tim.
Hey, how's it going, John?
It's going pretty good. So are you having fun at Scarab so far?
Yep.
So I understand you just got through playing an RPG. What'd you play?
I played Code and Dog.
Hey, I think we might have reviewed that sort of a quick start on the show.
Yep, we should have.
So did you have fun?
Yes, I did.
All right, so what's something good that you want to tell us about your experience with Code and Dog here at Scarab Gaming Convention?
Well, it was fun to play because last time I ran.
Okay.
So it was an original adventure, so that was pretty cool. I mean, it's a fairly good setting for cold, dark, scary sci-fi games.
Okay. Well, give us something bad, because you know how this rolls.
Yeah, no. Probably the fact that it uses a lot of D8s.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah.
And if you had to throw something in the other category, what would it be?
Other. Well, I can say this. The game is once again back out for publishing from Modiphius.
All right, we'll go with that.
Yeah.
All right, Tim, well, thanks for sitting down and talking about your experience with Cold and Dark here at Scarab Gaming Convention.
Woohoo.
2018. Guess what? We're still here at Scarab Gaming Convention. Imagine that. And at the table with me, I have Jim.
Greetings.
Hey, it's been a while.
It has. It seems like it's been 10 forevers at least.
Yes. Well, maybe 9.5, but...
9.5 forever. Yeah, you're right. That's right. I forgot about leap year.
So you just got through playing an RPG.
I did.
What game did you play?
I played Cold and Dark.
Ooh, did you have fun playing that?
Yeah. It was a lot of fun, actually. I played it last year when Mary was running it. She ran it again this year.
Okay.
And she's really good. She's a really good game master. It was a lot of fun. It's a sort of a space exploration with a sort of a deep space horror element.
Gotcha. For this review that you're going to give us of Cold and Dark, tell us something good about your experience.
Well, I was playing with a table full of very fun role players. We had a really good time. Unfortunately, I cannot recall everyone's names right off the top of my head, but among them were fellow podcaster Donald Dennis, and Tim was there.
Well, see, now I know that you're lying about good role players. Those two are there.
He's gotten much better since he grew the beard.
Who, Donald or or Tim?
Either or both, really.
First one, then the other.
Yes. Well, I think Tim is the one who more recently joined the bearding way. So. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Now that he is part of our brotherhood, as those of us who have the facial hair, we can now commune psychically, and
you
so
can embrace him.
Yes.
He gives out free hugs, you know.
I heard. Perhaps one day I shall avail myself of that, but as of yet, it is untested. I feel it's worth waiting for.
Okay, so the good thing was you had a lot of really good players. You had a pretty good GM who's been doing this for a while.
Really
so.
Great GM. She really great GM. She does a really good job. I love when she plays NPCs. Because they're very very human.
Okay.
And it worked out really well with that.
So, what's something bad that you could say about your experience with Cold and Dark?
Well, let us see. I think the only really negative thing I can say is that it has been a year since I've played it.
Uh-huh.
So, I couldn't quite remember the rules quite as well as I needed to. It was... a thing, and it's a pretty simple game,
right?
As these things go, it's not anything crazy, but I felt like I was slowing things down by having to ask things every now and then. Also, we did have a point earlier in the first half of the game where we got into that sort of I wouldn't exactly call it a paralysis, but we all had a plan,
okay,
and by we all had a plan, I mean we each had a plan that was perhaps different from everyone else's plan. Everyone was very inviting and welcoming to hear everyone's plans, so it wasn't a thing where it was like, well, I'm doing this. And in a way, that was unfortunate, because that, I think, stretched things out a bit and might have made things a little bit harder on Mary, and if that is the case, I'm sorry. but we did eventually get it together. We decided to kind of go in a sort of a direction and just sort of, as they said at the table, shadow run it. Just dive blindly at the problem and see what happens on the way.
That is a very shadow run thing. So throw something at us that might be other about this game.
Let's see. Well, I don't want to give away too much in case she wants to use the scenario
That's
again.
Perfectly fine.
I know she's going to be doing the second half of it tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
That actually is an interesting component in that I didn't realize it was going to be part of a bigger narrative. So that was cool. She did have a number of moving pieces, I think, in the background for sort of the scenario she's developing, or the greater group of scenarios she's developing for it. So it was interesting learning about that. We actually didn't know. I didn't know that it was part of a bigger puzzle until the end of the scenario.
Okay.
But it was really cool finding that out, and so I liked that quite a lot.
Well, very cool.
And also lots of running and screaming, which is to be expected from Cold and Dark. Also, I played a character who basically had zero moral compass.
Oh,
so we kept talking about blowing up the ship, and that was just something I went for immediately, and people kept saying, well, we've got to get everyone's families off. And I'm like, why?
Why?
That'll take time. Why? What's the point?
Wow.
So lots of fun being a terrible person. So that was really good.
Well, cool. Well, thank you, Jim, for sitting down and giving us your reactions, reviews of your experience playing Cold and Dark here at Scarab Gaming Convention 2018.
You're most welcome, my dear fellow. Should I plug something? Or are we,
if you want to plug something, that would be great. I understand you're all over the internet somewhere.
I am all over the internet from time to time. The podcast I've been doing a lot lately is... sorry, I was distracted for a moment. My brain went away. I currently am the producer of the CypherCast, which is all about the Cypher system from Monty Cook Games. And every now and then when I can get back to it, my personal journaling podcast is Jim Yes That Jim, available at jimyesthatjim.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Thank you once again.
Thank you, man. It's good to see you.
Yeah.
Partner, why don't I pour you a sarsaparilla? It's about high noon here in the Swarmcast Saloon. That'll mean only one thing. It's about time for a quick draw.
Bang, bang!
Bang, bang!
Bang, bang! Bang, bang,
bang! So, hey guys, we're here at Scarab 2018 still. And we've got an RPG review that we're going to be getting ready to do. We've got some guys over here. We have... according to my notes, we have a Mr. Smith, Calvin, who you may have heard on the Swarmcast before.
Once or twice.
Tim, who you may have heard on the Swarmcast.
Hello!
And Pete.
How you doing?
Going pretty good. How's it going, guys?
It's doing good for early on a Monday morning.
Yes.
So what game did you guys play?
It was Fragged Empire.
Fragged Empire. I think I've heard about that somewhere.
Where's this made? This is a foreign.
This is actually from made for in Australia.
Okay, an Australian game.
Yep.
Oh, that's funny.
So, well, let's get into it. Why don't you guys tell me something good about your experience with Fragged Empire?
The world seemed pretty neat as far as, you know, being a space setting with multiple races that you haven't encountered before that are, you know, trying to get along, so to speak.
Okay.
So it was a good world setup.
Yeah, I think the fact that it's essentially post-apocalyptic in a sense, because there were two races that were fighting that have disappeared, and now everybody else is like after the aftermath, they're trying to work together.
Yeah, basically the races that were left over are just kind of like, so what now?
Right.
Let's scavenge some.
Trying to make do.
I like the idea of. It wasn't races that were on other planets. They were kind of created by some of the master races.
Genetically engineered races. All of them.
Right. Yes, pretty much.
Even some of the ones before that were genetically engineered.
Yeah. Even the master races were technically engineered races.
Oh, interesting.
By a race that died off, which were humans.
Yeah, because humanity died like 10,000 years before all of this.
Huh. You can say the races are the offspring creations of humans.
Mm-hmm. At least two levels down.
Interesting. Well, is there anything bad that you want to say about your experience with Fragged Empire? Like the GM?
Well, some adjustments to getting used to the mechanics of the system, but you know, this is the first time I've played this system, so it was all new.
Right. It wasn't hard to figure out, like, to understand them, but it did take a minute to get on, like to comprehend the way it worked for me.
Yeah, it deviates a fair amount from like modern trends in gaming, because like that it'd be like tribute plus this or certain things, but just the way it does, because the way to kill something you have to do a tribute damage, and the way you can do that is with crits, but damage and crits are two different things. Right. So
okay.
And there didn't seem to be a lot of variety in the how good you are. If you're good with a skill, you might have like a plus two, and somebody that's really bad with a skill is minus two. But when you're rolling three dice, it doesn't give you a big swing.
Interesting.
Yeah,
it's very possible where the game mechanics set up. You could have a character who's, say, very good at fixing something, and another character who's very good at medicine, but just by the luck of the dice roll. The person who's mechanic, he might sew somebody's arm back on, while the doctor might repair a fusion engine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just the way the dice fall, I mean.
Okay.
Now, I do want to point out that this was the quick start, which I get the feeling that is a little bit different from, like, the actual rules.
Okay, so it might not have had the full...
Yes.
The full rule set kind of thing.
Okay. I guess there's no way for us to tell if you're per se trained in it or not. Like some game systems, if you're trained in it, okay. you can do something versus untrained.
Right, right.
Yeah, because you basically do whatever you want, any skill. It's just you either have a bonus to it or a penalty.
Right.
Oh, okay. Well, is there something we want to say that would fall into our other category about Fragment Empire?
It has some nice artwork.
It okay. does.
It does?
It does. Yeah. It has some very beautiful artwork.
Okay.
Interesting artwork. They were telling me about, like, there's a picture for one of the races that was genetically created to be a soldier. Mm-hmm. It has be strong, be a farmer.
Yeah.
Because the war is past.
Interesting.
And now that their superior race is gone, they have no one to, like, just supply the basic supplies that they now have to figure out how to do.
Interesting.
And one of their other propaganda was have a baby for victory.
For victory. Interesting. Well, cool, guys. Thanks for coming by and talking with us about your experience of Tim running and the rest of you playing in Fragged Empire. As heard of on the Swarmcast Games from Around the World segment.
Woot.
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 Hey, John, I see you loading a bunch of stuff in the war horn right there.
You got it, Toast. We're getting ready to go to a convention.
Ah, what's that about?
Well, the Swarm, Scarab, and some of ShushCon.
Oh, those guys.
Yeah, well, we're headed to GnomeCon in March 2nd through 4th.
Ah, GnomeCon? GnomeCon, that's like a bunch of gnomes and stuff, right?
Oh, no. It's a convention in Savannah.
Ah, and well, what kind of stuff are you guys doing there?
Oh, well, we're bringing a big bag of holding size range of events, such as Mouse Guard.
Some of those are good, I guess.
Hellas, Paranoia, Dungeon World, Savage Worlds, Dread, Venture Maximus, and some games you've probably heard on
good.
The show.
Laser Kittens.
Yeah, Laser Kittens is going to be there, too. I see you're checking it out on Warhorn.
Yeah? Well, you can check out the convention information at GnomeCon.org.
Yeah, and remember, go to warhorn.net/events/GnomeCon if you want to see all the games that us Gnome Swarm, as we're calling ourselves now, that we're bringing to GnomeCon.
Well, that sounds exciting, John. I wish I could catch up with you there, but, you know, me and gnomes don't get along too well.
We got a guest, got a guest.
I admit that I'm impressed since I'm Hadrick, someone legit to come and sit and talk some
stuff. Stuff. So, hey guys, I'm still here at Scarab 2018, and I've actually got somebody a little different here sitting at the booth with me to talk about a game that he brought with him to Scarab. I've got Dan Machado. Did I get that?
Yeah,
mostly
that's
right.
That's good. Machado's good.
So Dan, what game did you bring with you to Scarab?
Well, I just like to say hello to Swarmcast listeners. How you guys doing? We brought Gravity Warfare to the convention.
Okay, and I understand this is actually your game, right? You.
It is our game. My father actually thought of the idea back when we were young, and he had done the game for us. But it wasn't until a couple of years ago that we decided to make it into what you see today.
Very cool. And we had some folks come by, and they were telling me about the game already. And so I've got a really interesting recording of all the fun that they've had. And every time I've gone into that the board game room over there and seen it, it's looked pretty cool. So why don't you kind of just describe the game itself to these to our listeners.
Sure. Well, unfortunately, the game is much more visual.
Right.
It's really cool to see how the board interacts with the pieces when you play. But the game is a balancing dexterity game that involves some strategy. So you set up a base and you put a platform on top of it, and it balances by itself. And players place pieces on the board until somebody runs out of pieces to play.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there's something about, they were saying that they had to, a lot of times they had to would have to get up and walk over to a different side of the board or something. Sometimes the board would spin a little.
Right. The game has a take that mechanic.
Uh-huh.
Where players take a hand of cards and they choose one of their challenges to try to make another player's turn much more difficult to do. So if it's your turn, you're able to get a challenge from all of your opponents that could be playing while the board is spinning, playing with chopsticks or any number of challenges, and you have to do all of those combined. So the game can become very difficult to do.
It does sound like a lot of fun. Oddly enough, I was intrigued once they were talking about using the chopsticks to pick up pieces.
That's a favorite. A lot of people like that one.
So, where can folks find this game? Where can they get this game?
The game is not out for retail as of now. We have set an official Kickstarter date for February 10th this year. And it would run until March 10th. So, you would have several options to purchase. You would have the regular retail version. You would have a deluxe version that has a cooler box. And a jumbo version also available for you to purchase.
A jumbo version?
Yes, we made a jumbo version about 4 feet wide.
Oh my gosh.
And it's like a backyard type game, and it's pretty fun. A lot of people have enjoyed it, especially at the conventions. We took it to Dragon Con, which is the first one that we attended with the jumbo, and it was a total hit. People were just doing lines and just waiting for their turn to play on the big version.
Oh my gosh. So they were telling me that apparently if they back the Kickstarter, there might be a chance that they could get some of the different prototype versions of the game that you made.
Yes, it's not back in the Kickstarter. It's actually, all you have to do is like us on Facebook and subscribe to our newsletter on our website, gravitywarfare.com. You can access it through the Facebook page as well.
Okay.
But that's all you have to do. And then you'll be entered to win two of the prototypes, or one of two prototypes. You have our latest prototype that we are showing right now, and one of the earlier prototypes that has the original artwork that is made by hand.
Oh, that's very cool. Yeah. They also mentioned that you guys are fairly local to around here.
So we're from Goose Creek.
Oh,
Goose Creek, yeah. Are you from Goose Creek?
I'm not, but I lived in North Charleston, very close to Goose Creek.
Right, right.
For about 4 or 5 years at one point.
All right.
So I'm familiar with the area.
Yeah, we like it. I'm not too fan of the seasons, but but I like it. It's a nice, nice town and very friendly people.
Well, very cool. Well, Dan, is there anything else you want to tell us or say about Gravity Warfare?
No, the game is awesome.
That's what I've been hearing.
Yeah, we've made a game, and that all you have to do is just get it for you to see for yourself how really fun it is. It'll bring a lot of fun times for you and your family. But one thing I'd like to add is that Scarab was a great event, great convention, and it still is. It hasn't ended. The staff was very cool and knowledgeable about all the games, and any questions that I had, they had good answers. And I encourage all your listeners to attend next year, if you can.
Awesome. Thanks. And maybe we can have you guys back next year. That'd be kind of cool.
You will have us next year.
Oh, great. Even better. Well, cool. Well, again, thanks. Thanks, Dan, for coming on the show. And again, that's Gravity Warfare. And that Kickstarter, again, is going to start up February...
February 10th, yes. February 10th. Look up Gravity Warfare, gaming on a whole new level.
All right.
Again, thank you for having me.
Hey, this is Toast. Go ahead and leave the Swarmcast a message. Remember our number, area code 803-470-4439. Maybe we'll use your message on the air. Who knows?
The Iron Tomb opens beneath the RPG Pyramid. The RPG Pharaoh awakens and issues out the command.
Ancient spirits of roleplaying! Transform this rusty contest into
the RPG Pharaoh's Challenge! Hey, do you have what it takes to be the RPG Pharaoh GM? The Pharaoh's Challenge must be met. The Game Master, who shows their ability to prepare and run an RPG given certain royal constraints, will win this awesome title for the year 2018, along with some other cool prizes, including an eternal membership to Scarab Gaming Convention. GMs will be given random elements to work into their games, which could include plot hooks, NPCs, maps, strange props, and maybe more. They will get mostly an hour to prepare their games,
and run it for ordinary convention goers of Scarab Gaming Convention, some of whom will be the hands of the Pharaoh himself, and maybe even the Pharaoh himself. The challengers have already accepted the RPG Pharaoh's call to challenge. Four GMs compete, but only one will be victorious! So here at Scarab 2018, and we're getting ready to announce the RPG Pharaoh's Challenge. I have four challengers who are busy looking right now to see if they've won any RPG and board game prizes. But soon, very soon, they will come up to this table and they will get their randomly chosen RPG system that they will get 1 hour to run, along with a few other goodies that they can use to work into their system, into their game. So our challengers this time are, we have Donald Dennis of internet fame, we'll say, internet infamy. Hey Donald, how you doing?
I'm doing very well, and yourself?
Doing okay.
I just spent 5 hours being the computer in Alpha Complex, so, well, I'm already kind of running on all cylinders at this point.
Cool, so you're warmed up for the challenge already. And we have John Kilbaugh. How are you doing, John?
Not bad.
So you're ready for the challenge?
Oh yeah, I think so.
Cool, awesome. And we have Stephen Johnson, who's right behind John Kilbaugh over here. Hey, how's it going? So you ready for the challenge?
Yes, sir. I'm ready.
You ready for the challenge? Okay. And we have Stephanie Frey over here as well. How's it going, Stephanie?
Good. Excellent.
So you ready for the challenge?
Oh, yeah. I'm really excited.
Okay. Well, the challenge is this. You guys will have about an hour or so to prepare and run a game system. This system is going to use D10s. So each of you is going to get a bag of D10s. And one of these pads of graph paper over here. The system is the Era system. What? Some of you might have already figured that out.
I'm so surprised.
The Era system. We have four different flavors of it this time. The basic gist of the system is, for the most part, it's an attribute and skill kind of thing. You'll have a number for an attribute, a number for a skill, and that determines how many D10s you roll. And generally speaking, it's target number 7 is kind of what they're looking for, and you're trying to figure out how many successes to determine how the success rate and stuff like that. And opposed rolls are usually you building a dice pool, the players building a dice pool, and trying to get the most successes. These books are going to have all of that information in it, tells you how to work out combat. It's really not too hard. It's going to be pretty easy to pick up. That being said, the different systems we have Era Empowered, which may or may not have a picture of it.
Superheroes.
And it's superheroes. And in each of these booklets, it's the primer. It's going to tell you how to run the game. And it's going to have an NPC that you get to work into the game, a plot point, a plot synopsis that you get to work into your game somehow, and pre-generated characters, so that's been taken off of your minds as well. Era the Empowered, which is about superheroes, is going to be Donald Dennis. And your judge is going to be me. Next up, we have Era Hitman, which is if you've ever played the game Hitman or seen the movie Wanted or such, it's similar to that. It's about people who work for something called the Syndicate, and they often get jobs. It's kind of Shadowrun-ish. There's a little bit of psionics involved in that. And this game is actually going to be John Kilbaugh. And your judge is going to be Ruby. Next up, we have Era the Consortium, which is like Mass Effect is a good way to describe it. You're in space. There's some aliens. There's lots of guns shooting, things like that. That's a very brief synopsis. I'm sure Ed will be happy about that one. Stephanie, this is going to be for you. And your judge is going to be Calvin Korn, who is not here at this moment, but he will be here for your game. And finally, Era Survival, which is a sort of a post-apocalyptic type of game where it's really about survival. It's about trying to survive in a world that's infected by all sorts of weird viruses and plagues. And of course, this one is going to be for Steven or Steve. Do you prefer Steve or Steven? Either one. Steven. And your judge is our resident RPG survival game expert, Tim Martin. No pressure there, guys. So feel free to take a colored pad of paper and the D10s. You'll each maybe. You each also.
If we want the same color, do we roll for it or what?
Sure, whatever you got to determine. You'll each also receive a thumb drive that has all of this, the primer on it, and a few other additional digital goodies, which may or may not help you with this game. It's up to you. So here's Survival, Empowered, and you get to keep these thumb drives. Consortium, and the blue one, Hitman. All right, the tables are in there. There's four of them. They're up near the cantina. You'll be able to see the little table tents. And we also have some pizza for you four guys, since you're going to be busy looking over your games and prepping and stuff like that, which I'll be in there in just a bit to work on the pizza thing. All right. And around two is when we're going to start trying to get some warm bodies into your chairs. So yesterday, the RPG Pharaohs Challenge was issued forth, and four GMs were given different era things.
And three of us survived.
We're given different era games to run, and they prepared them based off of a random plot and a random NPC, which came out of the different Gnome Stew books. Gnome Stew, delicious. And our contestants were returning from last year, having won a certain contest whose name rhymes with Fyrn Cream, was Steve Johnson.
Hey y'all, it's me again.
Steve, how did you feel about the contest this time?
It was way different. Yeah, a little bit different. A little bit harder, I guess. Well, not knowing the system was harder for me, but putting story elements in, it was natural and stuff like that. So it worked pretty well. I think I did pretty well.
Okay. What'd you think about the players at your table?
Oh, they were great. Very open-minded, a lot of fun, imaginative, very imaginative, especially since mine was a sort of a murder mystery. Keeping them, figuring it all out within the first 2 hours was very hard.
Okay. And you were running Era Survival. So we had also returning from previous competition years was Donald Dennis.
Yes. Hello. From Onboard Games and On Role Playing Games, On RPGs podcast. So check us out there, InverseGenius.com.
And you were running Era Empowered, which was superheroes.
It was super powered. Yes, it was exciting. There were some interesting holes in the rules. Like, I never knew how much damage anything was supposed to do because I don't think it was in the rule copy I had. But we didn't mind because it let me make things up. So I'm all in favor of that.
And what'd you think of your players?
Actually, the players were great. It was neat to see what each player sort of responded to, because there were so many elements that we got to throw in. So, you know, we had some combat. We had Mrs. Doubtfire show up in her time machine. We went to the library. So, you know, fun was had on all angles.
Awesome. And so we had a new contestant this time, Stephanie Frey. How are you doing?
Doing good.
So did you have fun? You were running Era of the Consortium.
Yes, I had a blast. I've never run sci-fi before, so it was like an excellent experience.
So you had a bunch of interesting jokers at your table. What did you think of your players?
Oh, they were fun. Like, they made the world that we built together just completely insane and a blast to just, at one point, nuke. So we had to go to the other side of the planet, and it was just hilarious.
Awesome. So so you guys all met the challenge, learned your systems, more or less, and got to run them. We also had John Kelbog, who we have not been able to find, so I'll just give a few things about him. He ran Era Hitman. I believe he probably had some fun players at his table. A good time was had by all. He's probably out playing some other games right now. So that's how that goes. So now you're all wondering who is it that won the first Pharaoh's RPG challenge this year? Well, this year. Yeah, it is going to be the first one this year.
Hopefully it's not here.
That would be awkward. Well,
we'll give it to him.
Let's start off by saying by coming in with our third and fourth place, our participation award? No, these two GMs, their scores were very, very close. Actually, all four of the scores were very, very close, so it came down to a lot of discussion from the judges and such. So coming in third and fourth place will be John Kelbaugh. And this year, also coming in one of those two places, is going to be Steve. So, Steve, you will win a Mighty Victory award. On the back, it actually says Scarab 2018 RPG Pharaohs Challenge. And you will win one of these keychains, whichever color you want, green or blue. Blue? Okay. It's a nice little keychain. It actually has it's a leather with a scarab on it.
Congratulations.
He was trying to bribe the judge with pie. He's like, but I got pie.
I told you. You weren't here on time. It would bounce you down a notch. That's the only reason.
So, Donald, every year you've been coming in solid second place, and you've made a big deal about that.
Yeah. Why break tradition, right?
Why break tradition? You're like, no, I will always be second place. Second place is a great place to be. Not a lot of spotlight. Not a lot of pressure on you and such like that. And so that's why it is my pleasure to announce that coming in second place for the 2018 Scarabs RPG Pharaohs Challenge.
You named it, you created the whole thing, and you have to read the label every time you say it.
I do. It's great. It's my shtick. So coming in second place, Donald, is Stephanie Fry.
Thank you.
Which means, and you get this awesome wooden Pharaohs Challenge dice box.
That is unexpected.
And so, coming in first, the RPG Pharaohs, RPG Pharaohs Challenger, Donald Dennis. Woo-hoo. Here is your number one place. You also receive.
Shame to break up the set of second place.
You also receive this wooden dice tray that has Pharaohs Challenge on the back of it. Oh.
Throwing this on the ground on purpose, I promise.
You also receive a copy of Metal, Magic, and Lore, Basic Player's Guide, along with the Game Master screen and this card, which has limited edition drop card resources and such on it.
Oh, okay.
All sorts of stuff. So a whole new RPG. Plus, I will get you in contact with Ed Jallet, the creator of the Era system, and he will actually mail you a physical copy of one of the Era games.
Oh, neat.
Possibly Empowered, which is being put out right now. So you'll actually get a full copy of the physical full copy of the game.
Wow, that is wonderful. I had a lot of fun learning this. It was stressful. This was a tough one. I think this was the toughest out of all the challenges that we've done, I think, to try and figure out the system and then basically stage a whole scenario in an hour. Because in previous incarnations of other challenges, we get to come in with something, and then we could work in what you said. And so this was neat. I like this a lot.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad you had fun. Thank you. And I'm glad all of you participated. You all did a really great job. Like I said, all the scores were really, really close. So it came down to a lot of debate, a lot of discussion to try to figure out, who was going to come in last. I mean, who was going to... So, thank you once again for participating in the first RPG Pharaohs Challenge.
Hooray!
Yay!
Hooray!
Oh boy, oh boy. It's almost time for the con. I can't wait to do these escape rooms, play the role-playing games, the board games, show off all these cool new coding games.
Shush!
Yeah, that's the one.
No, shush! We're in a library, sir.
We most certainly are. It's ShushCon, a games and geekery convention held in Pawleys Island, South Carolina at the Walker Monarch Branch Library, March 23rd, 24th, and 25th. It's the best value for gaming in the Carolinas.
We'll have the new board game hotness. You know, the good stuff.
Classic and indie RPGs. So we'll have Dread, Call of Cthulhu, Trail of Cthulhu, Paranoia, Savage Worlds, and Dread.
Organized play events like D&D, Pathfinder Society, and Shadowrun.
As well as War Machine Hordes, Iron Arena, and Steamroller events.
Video games like the Jackbox Party Pack, Artemis, Overwatch LAN Party,
and a Hearthstone Fireside Gathering.
We're a tavern!
Woohoo! And we're going to have escape room games and custom-made escape rooms.
We'll also be hosting a magic draft.
And in the finest tradition of ShushCon, we will have a tea party and tea tasting. So we'll have a variety of tasty teas for you to taste and tickle your tonsils.
Taste tea?
Oh! We will also record segments for On Board Games, On RPGs, and the Games in Schools and Libraries podcast. So you could be on air if you show up here. We're also going to host our Library and Trade Day again, but this time we're going to be talking about coding and coding activities for libraries. So if you're a librarian, show up. We're going to focus on Coding to Play and Playing with Code. That's March 23rd, starting at 10 a.m. and going until 1 p.m. on that Friday, where we're just going to break out the code and show you how you can bring code into your library in the geekiest way possible. And then, of course, you can stay and play games, games, games. And that's part of the library's Ready to Code grant that we just received.
Look, that's all good and well, but this is a library. I need you to take it down a couple notches.
Oh, yes. So, ShushCon, March 23rd, 24th, and 25th, Polly's Island, South Carolina. Best value in gaming for all the Carolinas. Because it's free. Join us and have fun.
Shush.
No. ShushCon!
Swampcast has board game news for you. Yeah, we got the good, bad, and other stuff to tell you. So listen up to our board game review. Hoo-hoo's, you really like it, or I'll make you eat your shoe. Hoo-hoo's.
So we're still here at Scarab 2018, and I've got some familiar voices who have sat down to talk about another game that they've played. So I've got Jack. How are you doing?
Great. How are you?
I'm still doing great somehow. I've got Sarah.
Yes.
And Miriam.
Still great.
So what game are you guys going to talk to me about right now?
Gravity Warfare.
Gravity Warfare. And that's one of the, I believe that's a very new game, isn't it?
It's not even out yet. The Kickstarter will kick off on February 10th, and I plan to be right there.
And anybody listening to this will be able to get in on that as well in February. So,
yeah, the website's www.gravitywarfare.com, and I
nice free plug for them.
We love
absolutely.
This game.
I absolutely love it, and I hope that they are very successful. I'm excited that this was a family created game. Like the sister did the artwork, the brother, one of the brothers is the business manager, the other one does 3D modeling.
Oh, wow.
And they developed the whole game, and it's so much fun.
Okay, well, let's get right into it then. Tell me something other than what you've just said that's good about this game, about Gravity Warfare.
This game is different than most of your games. You have you have to put little pieces onto a thing that sometimes is spinning, or you have to use chopsticks to put it on, or there's just a bunch of different ways, and it's really different than a regular game.
Huh.
It's very physical, but while you're still seated at the table, you're doing a lot of different physical things.
Okay.
It's like a balance board, and depending where you put your ships, the board will tilt, and something might fall off, and then you gain negative points, I guess.
Yeah, you lose
points.
You get little chips that
you get little
take
chips that represent points.
Huh.
And you can challenge someone. You have to place your ship, let's say, on the yellow zone, but then someone will play a card that you have to use chopsticks, or you have to do it with your eyes closed.
Oh, wow.
Or you have to spin the board and get it on there
once.
But you can have multiple challenges played upon you. So you can, for example, I think Jack got that he had to spin the board, pick up and place his object with chopsticks, and the general rule is that you get 50% of your ship piece in the area, and it counts, but one of the challenge cards was that you have to get all of it in there. So he had the spinning board, chopsticks, and he had to get the whole thing in this little playing field.
Interesting. Yeah, I've seen it so many times set up in there, and everyone seems to be enjoying playing it. And it looks like a really fun game. Really,
it is
really neat.
Very well thought out.
Yeah, it was very well thought out and very easy to learn how to play. So it sounds like you have all of these complications, but they're not at all. It's
very straightforward.
Very straightforward, simple.
And fun.
In fact, we would ask questions about cards, and the person who was running the game would just explain it to us, and we were overcomplicating things. Like, when you put things together, you just put them together.
That's definitely a good thing.
He was a creator who was showing
us. Well balanced.
Yeah, so like you said, it was the creator actually here at Scarab showing you how to play the game. So that's
and it was well balanced. You know, if you put the blindfold card, you couldn't play any other cards. And things like that made it so that you couldn't just slam somebody into the ground, you know.
Okay.
It was fun. And it's a homegrown game from South Carolina. It's
even
a family
better.
That built it.
Even better.
Very professional. Everything is great.
I was surprised that it was a small mom and pop
shop. Not made by a company. Mm-hmm. Made by a family.
Very surprised. It was such high quality.
Okay. Well, now, because I got to ask this question, because that's the general format of what we do around here, is there something bad that you could say about Gravity Warfare?
Then I can't buy it yet.
Yeah. Then I have to wait till February.
I was a little worried. You jumped on it. Yes.
Yes,
there is something
bad. I would like to take it home this weekend.
That.
Right. But there's nothing bad.
There's nothing bad about the game.
So right now they're just going, hey, check it out. You know you want this. You got to wait.
And actually there's a reverse side of the board that we didn't even play, and it'll just add variation so you can't get bored.
Oh, wow. That's
and they have different versions, like the jumbo version and the regular one and then some of their prototypes that they've done.
Yeah, if you sign up for their Kickstarter, you can win some of their earlier prototypes.
Interesting.
With the original hand-drawn art and stuff.
It took them...
Let's jump right into the other category here, because it sounds like that's kind of what we're going into.
Yeah.
Some other things I can say about this game.
It took them about a year to do it, and they made hundreds of prototypes, they said.
Wow.
You can tell it's very thoughtfully put together.
Again, I think it can be fun for the whole family.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, as long as someone can read the cards. or have them read to them.
Well, very cool. This sounds like a really fun game. Again, that's Gravity Warfare, and we've been talking with Jack, Sarah, and Miriam. Thank you guys again for giving another board game review.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So I'm back again with Joe, and we're going to talk about some game, a little game that he brought to my attention.
We discovered it.
Not many people know about this game. What's this game you want to
talk about?
This
is an indie release by a small little boutique called Rio Grande Games.
Okay.
Dominion.
Oh, okay. That name sounds familiar.
So it's actually probably the big granddaddy of deck-building games.
Right.
This is not a collectible card game like Magic the Gathering. This is a deck-building game. You start with a basic hand of cards, and then through a different series, like there's 12 sets of cards to choose from as you play. Now there's... Within the game itself, mega version, there's probably 100 versions from. But each game you're playing, you're picking from 12. Mm-hmm. And the idea is you build your most efficient deck, and you play through until you get to some victory conditions, like end points, getting rid of, depleting some decks. And then at the end, you add up your victory points, and hey, we win. I've played this. I don't own the game, but when I play it, especially if you got good people, you're just, it becomes different every single time because there's enough variation.
That's true.
And you can play it, pick it. You're making your, especially at the end when your engine starts turning, where you start drawing actions, extra purchases, and it gets to the point where, like, at the very beginning, you might buy one card, and that's the only thing you can do. At the end, you just drop 13 cards, and you cycle through your decks. You can actually get to a point where you're ran out of cards to play, so you just have to wait till the next turn to recircle, buy some.
Uh-huh.
Because it even gets to a point where if you've discarded anything, you still bring it back, but then you wear them out. So it's a very good game. It's the big daddy of all of them. Not sure there's any negatives because they've done really well. It's well played. Most people know how to play it by now, or they can explain it to you very well.
Right.
And it's got the basis of most of the mechanics of all the deck building games come from here.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the daddy, and it's been tuned, rewritten, and people now can explain it to each other pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah.
There are some expansions out there, but I haven't played many of those, but there's some that kind of are outside of the game. They don't play well by themselves, but most of those expansions go right into the base game. You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
So it's a great game. The only thing, there have been some things that add very large victory point cards that I thought were too cheating. Mm. There shouldn't be a card, I believe, that should allow you to, that should be an obvious 100% choice.
Okay.
Everything should have a trade-off.
Okay.
I believe, but it's a fun game, and it's good art, beautiful, and each release is thematic.
Well, cool. Well, thank you for talking with me about Dominion. Okay, so I'm here with a Mr. Smith, I believe it is.
That is correct.
So, what game did you play?
I played Dominion with four persons.
Okay. And what did you think of it?
Well, it's a very good game. I will say I have played this game before, so it has a lot of variety, which is a good aspect of it that allows replayability of it.
Okay.
So what's something good that you want to say about Dominion?
It's a great four-person game. It's not terribly long. It's easily learnable, but it has a large variety of strategies that you can utilize with it.
Okay. Is there anything bad that you can...
There are some cards that kind of break it. Of course, in the setup of the game, you can just choose not to pick those particular cards, and you can tailor that to the gameplay style of the people at the table.
Okay. And if you had to put something in an other category for Dominion?
Well, I will say that, as I stated before, I've played Dominion several times with many of the expansions, but this was the base game, but it was a reprinting of the base game. So it had all new artwork, which is actually very good artwork for the reprinting of it. And the base game had a few extra cards that you haven't seen before in the base game, and I don't believe they were in previous expansions either.
Very cool. Thank you for coming by the Swarmcast booth and talking about Dominion, Mr. Smith.
All right.
Hope you have more fun. Play more games at Scarab Gaming.
I will.
Okay, so I'm here with Doug. Hey, Doug, how's it going?
Pretty good, sir.
So what game did you play here at Scarab?
I played Dominion.
Oh, and did you enjoy that?
Oh, yes, I did.
Cool. So what's something good that you want to say about Dominion?
Dominion is very varied each time you play it because you can select a different number of cards or different types of cards. Mm-hmm. And so it's different every time you play it, and I enjoy that.
Okay. Is there anything bad that you want to say about Dominion?
Well, when you're playing an additional game that is varied from the first, it takes a while to sort through the cards and set them all up. So, but okay. Other than that, it was good.
Okay. And what about something that is something that you might say would fall into our other category for Dominion?
Well, the other category is, depending on the selection of cards, if you play it randomly, there may be a lot of cards which allow people to hurt each other while playing the game. And I like to play friendly games, so when people play those cards that want to attack me, then
I gotcha.
Have to deal with that.
I gotcha. And that could go either way. Some people might like that. Yeah.
That's right.
Okay. Well, awesome. Thank you, Doug, for coming by and talking to us about your experience with playing Dominion at Scarab 2018.
You're welcome, sir.
It was a board game reviews from the Swarmcast. If you don't like it, then come over and kick your...
Tail! Tail! Toast meant to say tail. Toast. Why do you do that?
Oh, yeah. Well, everybody, the show's finally over. That's it. You can go back to your normal life again, though it's probably never going to be the same. You can find the Swarmcast podcast on Facebook and Twitter. Tell us what you think. Heck, give us a good review on either iTunes and TunedIn, Stitcher. Heck, I think we're putting stuff out on YouTube now, if that's kind of your thing. Anyway, subscribe, like, whatever, all through those different guys. Or you can grab the RSS feed from our website, which is swarmcastpodcast.com. That's all one word. And you can also email us at swarmcastpodcast, again one word, @gmail.com. Why not? Or you can leave us a message at area code 803-470-4439. And we'll probably play it on the air if you're lucky. Maybe. So, until next time, keep on gaming. And when you think of Toast, think of me.
rips like cream. Stronger and harder than a bad girl's dream. Like a bad one good, like a wrong one right. Power and love will keep you home at night. Don't take money, don't take fame. Don't need your credit card to ride this train. It's strong and it's sad, and it's cruel sometimes. But it might just save your life. That's the power of.
Love is a many rowdy thing, I've heard.
Some say love is like a river or some shit.
That's deep, man.
Yeah, I know.
Did you just make that up?
It seemed like a river, bro. <I'm
sorry>. This next song is deep like a river. That's not a title, it's an adjective to describe the song. It's good, but we found in rock and roll, if you explain yourself, rock and roll is mostly about exposition. Uh-oh. But it's more like I said, so I'll just keep talking.
Yeah, so keep explaining.
Rock and roll is mostly about explaining each and every song instead of playing.